Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, Sports City, so we are back in the building. I hope you guys are ready. We are ready with carrying our conversation from the green room right here to the show floor. We got to do what we got to do, though, man. Welcome back to the Monday Night Sports Wrap-Up. We got you for the next 60 minutes or better. Y'all know things are getting hot and heavy in this kitchen. Y'all already know, man. A lot of stuff that popped up this weekend. Got one more week until your boy gets, you know, out of his chair scared. I don't know what to do, but there's been a lot of talk. There's a lot of rumblings, man, but I'm feeling some type of way. But I took off the blazer and loosened up the tie, stepped aside the kitchen. Timeless is alive. Sports City, welcome back to the wrap-up. Let's go.
Out there for their purchase. We surely appreciate it. But you about to witness is my thoughts.
Just my thoughts, man.
Right or wrong, just what I was feeling at the time. You ever felt like this? Vibe with me.
Walk with a nigga, man.
Vibe with me. Yo, gather round, hustlers, that's if you're still living. And get on down to that old jig rhythm. Here's a couple of jewels to help you get through your bit in prison. A ribbon in the sky, keep your head high. Young Vito, voice of the young people. Mouthpiece for hustlers, I'm back, motherfuckers. You rain on.
The calling number is 917-889-9592. You got the next 60 minutes locked and loaded with Sports City. Y'all could have been anywhere else in the world, but y'all are here with the chef. Let me get my co-host in here because he's already telling me. We got some food for thought for all of you calling in by way of the Virginia region of the United States of America. Have Tommy B, a.k.a. Mr. Beard. Welcome to the wrap-up. How are you feeling this evening?
I'm here. After the end of Wednesday, I may not be very well. But right now, I'm doing good.
What's going on Wednesday? It excites me.
There's nothing going on Wednesday. There's a big series in the DMV meeting D.C. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday that could change the whole National League East.
Even if it does go one way or the other, you guys are still in the hunt. It doesn't make it look like, well, this is the end of September. And you guys are neck and neck. You guys still have a whole summer. The summer just started. We ain't even in the fall classic yet. Like, nowhere near the fall. Even though I want to get to the fall. Yeah. I want to be in that area of the year. But take your time. And see.
Yeah, but we've already got a star pitcher on the DL. 15 DL. So, I wasn't worried yesterday morning. After the show, I got a little worried.
Okay, so tell us your thoughts on everything that's going on with this series coming up today as of the Metropolitans visiting the Nationals in the National League East, and your thoughts on how this thing can either turn around for you guys or be a momentum builder for the Metropolitan.
I mean, for the Mets, I mean, these three games could be a big change for them. I mean, they've got 1, 2, and 3 starting, as far as I know. I know Syndergaard's pitching tonight. He's pretty much dominated us the both games he's pitched against us. So with us pitching our number 5 starter, I mean, Jordan Ross is, he's not bad. He's had his moments to where, hey, he's young, you can tell. Then you said they had games where Ross pitches like he's been a 5-year vet, 15-year vet. So, I mean, it's going to be big. I mean, I'm more worried about tomorrow's starter being called up from AA that I do not understand. How we call up a guy from AA We do not have nobody in AAA. If that's the case, they shouldn't be in AAA then. I'm sorry. Maybe they should. Maybe the guy that's pitching AA that's in Harrisburg, PA, where my wife's at right now, maybe he shouldn't be in Harrisburg. Maybe he should be up in Syracuse pitching. And the guys in Syracuse should be down south a little bit east to Harrisburg because I don't understand how we call up somebody from AA. Wednesday
I mean, you
starter?
Never, you never know.
Wednesday starter scares me, too.
He might have the stuff, though. He might come out there and bring a good game with him. You never know. You got to be patient, man. Be patient.
Then bring him up to AAA then. Put him in Syracuse. Not a AA ball club.
Okay, but you were just ranting the other day about Gio Gonzalez. So what happens if they move Gio?
You know, I thought about this after the show. If this guy they call up pitches well enough for us to win, Stephen comes back from the DL, team DL. Hopefully, it don't go longer. Push Gio to the bullpen. Maybe he can help out the bullpen.
Yeah, but look. Now, say this kid comes out like the pitcher out there in L.A. right now, the youngster. I mean, he's a teenager, a phenom out the gate, you know, and doing wonders with the Dodgers right now, even though the Dodgers are still fighting their way to, you know, get to the top of the division. But they have a youngster that, you know, has basically come out left-hander, pounding away at batters, trying to deal with them. What if your pitcher that's coming out of AA pitches just like this guy? I mean, you got to give him a fair shot. Now, it'd be brutal if he came out the gate and everybody started roping him or, you know, hitting shots to the gap or, you know, making contact and the ball hitting the fence or going over the fence. Then that'll be a different situation. But let these guys pan out. I mean, sports has actually changed. Like, it's different from when our parents were young and it's different from when we were young where people had to go through the system and so many different things. Nowadays, you got athletes that are ready for whatever venue it may be. You got athletes coming fresh out of high school, ready to ball, even though a lot of people don't, you know, condone that. They want them to try and go through school. But, I mean, if they're ready, they're ready. Look at LeBron. Look at Kobe. Like, and that's looking at basketball or looking at football. People that, you know, they're forced to try and get them to do, like, two or three years in college football. But, you know, they come out and do as much damage as they could potentially do in the NFL. I mean, we can think of the likes of a lot of people that left college early to play ball in the NFL. I mean, every athlete, if they have the potential to get it done, especially if they are, you know, early 20s, late teens, and can throw a 97 to 100 mile an hour fastball, they don't care what's going on in his life right now. If he's double A throwing 100 mile an hour the ball, listen, he's going to fill those seats. And if he wins his first game, let's just say he throws a no-hitter, there's going to be kids that love it. The parents will come back. He's getting Cracker Jacks and hot dogs. So, believe me, like this actually helps the, you know, the organization. They're looking at it beyond just a quick fix. And just like you said, if you're complaining about Gio Gonzalez, what do you think the organization's doing? If you have the gripe, don't you think that they feel some type of way too?
Gio has not done nothing since year one he came to D.C. One good year. After that, he's had a losing record with an ERA over 3, if not over 5.
Okay.
And I'm not saying anything about the kid from AA. I'm saying the way it normally goes. You got your small A, then you got your high A, then you move up to double A. Some guys like Manny Machado, I know, wasn't in double A very long. They brought him straight up. And don't get me Manny Machado's a beast. Don't get me wrong. He is probably one of the best young players in the game, besides Trout, Harper, Stanton, and then you could, I mean, Manny and them. But most of your kids go, then they go to double, and then they move up to triple A. I just don't understand. We do not have nobody in triple A that can pitch a couple of games. So you think 15 DL for a starter, he misses maybe, what, three starts? He's on DL for three starts. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't understand how you bring someone up from double A to not triple A.
Okay, Tommy, you guys got a 3-game lead right now. What's the worst he could do if he's pitching one damn game? He's pitching one game, Tommy.
That one game could come back and us not make the playoffs.
Okay, and what if he wins?
Then he helps us. Congratulations.
That is so terrible, man. That is terrible. He is terrible.
It is downpouring right now in D.C.
Yeah, it looks like it's about to rain here. The Yankees game is on a delay right now, too, as we speak. They pushed that game start from 7 to 7:25, hoping that it'll calm down out here as well. So,
they're playing in D.C., but it's downpouring, and the Mets have got runners on the corner.
Yeah, I'm watching that closely because of you with one out and Walker in.
Two outs.
So,
just had a sacrifice fly. 1-0 Mets.
Okay, so they scored. Okay. Relax. Rawls just started. Look, Sports City, somebody come help me, man. They call us number 917-889-9592. Okay, so
haven't started to blaze the grill yet.
Okay, I'm trying to allow you to do your thing. Okay, so let me get him started, kitchen doors up best as we can. So Tommy already let me know that he had dishes for us, just like he said, and I didn't want to even know a recipe at all. I wanted him to cook, and I was gonna eat. But I still have stuff on plate that I want to throw out there too as well. But have at it. The wrap up is yours.
All right, everybody knows today's date is the 27th of June. Everybody knows what Friday starts. Free agent frenzy in the NBA. There is a certain player that's already touched a nerve, and you would think I was a Miami Heat fan. When he comes out, and this is Whiteside, comes out and says he will have his decision, hopefully, July 1st or a little after. And loyalty will not play a factor. Wait a minute. What? Loyalty's not going to play a factor when the Miami Heat gave you your one shot. As long as I remember, correct me, Ty, wasn't he a free agent signee? He wasn't drafted, correct?
Right.
Every team passed on you. Even the one team that supposedly, reportedly, is going to be aggressive. That's the Los Angeles Lakers. I can see the writing on the wall, Sports City. I see the writing on the wall. I see the future. He's going to be another star, upcoming star, that goes to the wrong team, the wrong franchise, the wrong system, and he's going to fall right on his face. Dang, go out there to La La Land. Go to Hollywood. Go to Hollywood. Go to Lakers. Lose all that, make all that money. You better produce. I don't see it. He's going to be another one of these stars that gets paid all this money and not produce and live up to what he's supposed to. He's another one of these big heads that he's just going to get so big-headed. He should stay in. I hope he gets what he wants and stays in Miami. He fits that system.
Now, the interesting thing about the Lakers is the pieces that they have there, they're interesting. They are interesting. I really feel bad at kind of pointing the picture at Byron Scott because you know how bad they were last year. They only won 17 games. I mean, I really feel bad at even addressing that situation. But with them having the pickup of Ingram from Duke, also having Julius Randle there, Larry Nance Jr., who's a high-flying power forward, this could open up the door for Whiteside because, I mean, as much as it pains me and hurts me, their starting center is Roy Hibbert. In the past two seasons, Hibbert has not played good ball at all. Three seasons ago, Hibbert was an all-star in the all-star game. Now it's like Hibbert is a shell of himself, and his door could be wide open for not only Whiteside to go there and get money, but to go there and start and be part of a young nucleus that would support the heck out of this young Lakers team. That's what I'm looking at with Whiteside. But I agree with you. I 100% agree with you that the loyalty is not a factor. Wait, hold on. Hassan, you haven't even been in the league for 3 years, like, for you to even say something like that. Like, so it's like you have an interesting core around you in Miami. Miami's winning right now. Not to say that they won, you know, the Eastern Conference. I mean, the last time they did it, LeBron was around. But, I mean, their name is relevant in postseason play. When is the last time the Lakers have made the postseason? When is the last time they made the postseason? Like that's what has to come into play. I mean, it's an engaging situation. L.A., you know, all the money, the scenery out there in L.A., I mean, to me personally, I'm not a big fan of the Los Angeles area anyway, but that's just me. But Celebrityville, Hollywood, you know, if you go on Hollywood, you're going to bump into at least 5 celebrities. Like, it's regardless of, I don't care who you are, if you're in Hollywood, you're going to bump into somebody that's famous. But other than that, I mean, is it more comfortable for you to go across the country in L.A. or stay in Miami where you're at a beach area? Both areas are beach areas. Like, I mean, what scenery is more pleasant to you, especially with the supporting cast? Do you think Lou Williams is the trigger man that you want at the two guard, or would you stick with Dwayne Wade? Or deal with the Justice Winslow or you know, it hurts me to say his name, Joe Johnson. I love Joe Johnson, or deal with Swaggy P. I don't know. But this is interesting that Hassan Whiteside is playing this game. Well, not even a game, but I guess he considerably has to look at it like for the betterment of himself moving forward. But to me, I agree with you 100% that he should stay put in Miami because he hasn't really done much. I mean, he's done a great job of his stint in Miami, but he hasn't done much to make people gawk at him because just like you said, just a few years ago, he was jobless and nobody wanted him. Nobody wanted him, no matter how he blocks shots or gets to the rim, rebounds, can score, you know. Nobody wanted to deal with him. Okay, Tom, I thought you were trying to say something, but is there anything else that you have in front of Hassan Whiteside, or would you like to move further into the free agency frenzy?
Just that he says, we all know how Pat Riley is. Pat Riley may say, oh, fine, you don't want to put us in here or this. Okay, goodbye, we'll go after Dwight Howard or somebody.
Now, as you talk about that situation, the talk has actually been heating up, and it's funny that we're talking about the heat, and I say heat heating up, that the Dwight Howard might be the pool that Pat Riley will try and get him to come to South Beach and be the big guy, especially if Hassan Whiteside is playing this type of game. Now, I like the way that people have been talking about it because they say the big men that Pat Riley's been able to work with, he's been successful in turning their careers around and helping them win championships. The only big man that he couldn't win a championship with, hurts me to say this again, I guess I'm on murderer's row talking about this, was Patrick Ewing down there in New York with the Knicks. And as close as they got, couldn't solidify their situation while Pat was there, right? But you mean to tell me he was with Shaq for a year? Shaq got a championship. All of the years that he spent with Kareem, they got championships as well with him and Magic as well. So trying to entice Dwight to get there, they have to teach Dwight that, you know, that old dog, new trick situation. If they can get that stuck in Dwight's head, then that'll work out for him. But right now, We watched Dwight go, and it's funny how a lot of people broke this now. We watched Dwight go from Orlando, there pan out. We spoke about it here in the kitchen with him and Van Gundy going back and forth, going across the country. It didn't even last longer than two years out there in L.A. with Kobe and Dwight Howard. Kobe was talking mad junk about him, Sent him to Houston, and here goes the crazy part about it in Houston. He couldn't stay on the floor. He was injured. The year that James Harden almost got the MVP, when he came in second place, Dwight was out for a majority of that season. They got to the Western Conference Finals, and here comes Dwight Howard. And the crazy part about it is, who buys into this guy when he just walked away from $23 million this year? He just sold this year while he was in Houston. He was getting $22 million a year, and he walked away from it because him and James can't get along. Let me tell you something. Even though I know Dwight's talented and got, you know, an interesting head on his shoulders, people get mad because he laughs on the court. So I don't care about that. That boy's a 20-10 problem. Like, he still can get you 20 points and 10 rebounds. $23 million this year. Wait, hold on. $23 million in 365 days of play in a sport that I love. I truly crossed over to her. I can't even say crossed over to her. Basically riding the fence, whether it was football or basketball. I'm convinced now I'm in love with basketball. I love football, too. Don't get me wrong. I love football, but just watching how stuff has been going down in 2016, I'm in love with the sport. But a sport that I love, for $23 million, you want out and want to test the market. Who's to say that somebody throw these numbers at you again? Will that happen is the question. I don't think Dwight Howard will see them numbers again. I don't think he scrapes $20 million a year again. Like, if a team makes a jump at them like that, I wonder where it is. Is it the Knicks that might have that money open? I doubt it. I can only think of probably about two or three teams that would probably entice him to make that situation, and I think they have the upper hand. Dwight is what? He'll be 31 in December. Dwight Howard will be 31 on December 8th, if I'm not mistaken. He's getting long in the tooth, you know, so that's what I'm worried about. Your thoughts on this again, and then we have a caller in queue also.
I mean, I don't know. I'm very interested to see where Dwight goes, because it could be his last chance of getting a ring. So if that's what he really wants, he better pick somewhere good.
Now you open up a whole nother can of worms that actually intrigues me even more, and I didn't even think I would be jumping in that conversation, but here goes Tommy cooking up a marvelous dish. That's marvelous. Looking at Dwight in his championship window, because the last time he was in a championship situation was in Orlando, where they basically got knocked off their heels up against the Lakers. And if you want to talk about Houston, you know, they got to the Western Conference Finals and couldn't seal the deal, then we could do that too, because they were a step away from the finals also. But, you know, Dwight has to figure this out, one, where he can go be an impact player, but I think Dwight doesn't want to have the task of trying to have the ball at the end of the shot clock. I think he'd rather be a glorified garbage man and make it happen or run the floor, because he's a one of the better bigs in the league that runs the floor and running the floor. I don't know a big that could jump with him. I don't. With Joakim Noah, DeMarcus Cousins, as good as DeMarcus is, I know he can't fly with Dwight at all. Pick one. As much as I love Steven Adams, maybe Steven Adams would get on the floor a little bit, but Dwight is jumping 13 feet. I don't care what's going on. Man, listen, that's a whole nother ball game, man. That's a whole nother ball game. But we'll see. Hold on. Before we go further into this, call again by way of the Virginia region as well. We have Aaron Simmons in the building. Welcome to the wrap of how we're feeling this evening.
You know what? It makes me want to blow up real far. You know, to come on the air, step into the kitchen, and hear Dwight Howard be thrown around like this cat is some type of good vibe. Like, real talk. Like, the window of Dwight Howard winning a championship closed the moment he left Orlando. The minute he decided to opt out of getting $25 million, you know, to play this test free agency game, as if every GM on the planet don't sit there and talk, like every other GM on the planet don't sit there and have a television, a smartphone, an iPad, an iPhone, you know, at their disposal to check the recent history and to check the statistics of what this dude has been doing or lack thereof since he left Orlando is damn near laughable. You know, shout out to Dwight for, you know, trying to get his money. No disrespect in trying to get his money. But if this dude honestly thinks he's going to get upward of $25 million to jump onto a squad, one of two things has to happen, okay? Either has to lower his asking price down dramatically, or he has to understand that he ain't going to get that money and be second fiddle. The days of Dwight Howard going to a franchise and being the main attraction and being the main guy are once again done. And that was the biggest problem that he had by trying to be a member of the Houston Rockets. You know what I'm saying? He and James Harden never really meshed because this cat was used to being the guy. But he didn't understand that he wasn't the guy anymore. And second of all, you can't help the club from inside the tub. This dude was hurt more times than anybody in the world, and he was bitching and moaning because he wasn't getting his touches. He wasn't doing this and the third. What did you do for us when you was on the field, sir? It's so damn sick and tired of you being 7'20", you know, 300-some-odd pounds, and giving me stat lines like 6 points and 2 rebounds and a half a block. And you playing motherfuckers that are, you know, more, you know, 4'2", a buck 17, dripping wet. Hey, get out of here with this dude. I mean, I'm done with that Dwight Howard clown. I mean, if he signs in New York, shout out to Phil Jackson for trying to get that man a shot. If he goes to Miami, Pat Rowdy's giving them his bones. Do you? You know what I'm saying? If he signs with Dallas, you know, Rick Carlisle and, you know, Cuban giving us some due to bone. Hell, I've even heard rumors of him starting around with the Wizards. I mean, that would make all the more sense in the world for me to be sitting here in D.C. laughing, because not only are the Wizards about to sign Joakim Noah, which I heard, but them cats are probably entertaining Dwight Howard as well. Hilarious. Hilarious, hilarious. Tommy Beans, what's up, playboy?
I'd take him in D.C. in a heartbeat. I'd take Dwight Howard in a heartbeat, because I know he's going to protect the paint. He's going to protect the rim and the rebound.
Protect the
paint.
I'd
rather have Dwight Howard than that piece of shit James Harden that don't want to play defense or even try to play defense.
James Harden doesn't play defense. Dwight Howard doesn't do a damn thing. Is this motherfucker sits on the side of those on the bench in a two-piece suit with, you know, his jacket looking like a damn shower curtain? You can't help the claw from the top. You can't.
No.
You are no good to me. You were no good to me sitting on the side of the game while cats are trying to ball.
Well, what the hell is James Harden helping for? Standing there looking at his man lay up and lay up, dunk, lay up.
This dude is an MVP runner-up from a season ago.
Dribble. All the time, shot clock's down to one. I'll fire up a shot and hope and pray it goes in.
That's the whole, yo, know, the man is an MVP runner-up. This man averages 30-some-odd points a game. I'm not gonna sit here and say James Harden is a strapped-down defender. I'm not gonna say that. Believe me, I'm not. But if you're going to sit there and try to tell me you would much rather have a Dwight Howard on your roster than a James Harden, you're smoking that good shit that we sell out here in Winchester. We need to go light roll up some stuff, because that's crazy.
Hey, we don't condone that. However, this is the crazy stuff about it. Now, and you know, a lot of people like this, you know, and this actually makes even for a more interesting conversation. Like, who would you rather build your team around? Would you build your team around James Harden, a shooter that can distribute and has good ball control and forces people to foul? Because, you know, even though a lot of people talk about him flopping, but, you know, he does get to the lane. He does get, you know, in contact with while he's trying to you know, put layups up. He scores the ball. You know, he makes sure that people are fed. And while they made that run last year, Howard was out. And Harden was the guy doing the job that actually helped them get to the Western Conference Finals. Once Howard came back, it was like, what's going on? That's when the rumblings started coming that these two aren't getting along. So, but then again, you look at it like this. You look at it, well, James Harden gets on the defensive side of the ball and can be playing against one of the best two guards in the league, and he just letting his dude score. And that's going to always be the knock on Harden. It's like, I don't know what Harden's going to pick up defensive responsibilities. You know what I'm saying? Do we want – and it's crazy. Here goes the crazy sauce stuff about it. You're bringing Mike D'Antoni.
Yeah, I don't know about that. Like I said, I was pissed off at that hiring from the get-go.
Hold on. I'll let you cook and eat. I'll let you do everything you do. I don't even cut nobody off. I don't do that. But they do it to me all the time. Now, look, they bring Mike D'Antoni, a guy that don't preach defense at all. His last stint that we seen him coaching somebody was the New York Knicks. At home, even when the Knicks played home games, they were giving up 111 points in Madison Square Garden. And you know everybody come out there to play their best basketball in New York, a.k.a. the Mecca, noted by Michael Jordan. So you need to come. You're going to bring them to Houston, where you already have a star player that don't play D. All the other guys that do play D are getting up there like Corey Brewer and them. And you want Dwight walk out the door. These are the questions that you do need to think about right now. It'll at least either be in Houston, Dwight Howard, and Harden. All these situations coming up or into play. If they can entice somebody to come down there and play defense, or if they just want to play that run-and-gun basketball and see who's going to be the first to 120. Because that's how I look. I don't even want to say 115. Whoever can score 120 in that game to win that, have a possibility. I don't even want to say he's going to win that game. Have a possibility to win the game. That's the way I see it, especially with D'Antoni right there. But I want to throw this at y'all since it's brought up. What team, other than the Knicks or the Heat, I said other than the Knicks or the Heat, look feasible for Dwight Howard to go to? I'll start with you first, Tommy, and then I'll go to series after.
I'll stick with the team that I heard that I said first before is Dallas. I can see Mark Cuban going out. I really can see Mark Cuban going out and saying, hey, come here. Otherwise, I'm not sure.
Interesting. And especially while Dirk is walking away, Dirk is leaving, you know.
Is he really leaving? Or is he opting out for maybe more money? Or is he opting out to get less to get more help around?
Yeah, I was about to say it has to be for less because I don't know who's going to pay a 38-year-old Dirk Nowitzki more money for at least 3 years at the most, you know, like, I really see like a year or two left in Dirk. Like literally, he can still shoot the ball. Don't get me wrong. You're never gonna lose your jump shot. But everybody's seen it this year. Dirk looked like he was slowing down. People questioning if he's pondering retirement, and he still has it to give it another year. It depends on where he wants to go to it. You know, because he trying to pull out and saying that he wants to go out to Golden State. I really look at Dirk Nowitzki right now as him trying to watch people take the load off of him, making it a lighter situation for him where all he has to do is catch and shoot basketball and not be the Dirk that needs to go out there and give you 19 or better a night. Even though he has that capability, I don't think Dirk wants to do that anymore. Terrence, your thoughts on this situation where Dwight could seem feasible in the league outside of New York or Miami, or do you think that one or both of those teams are a spot that could be a landing situation for Dwight Howard?
You know, honestly, man, I think the diamonds are going to really start to fall once KD decides what he wants to do. You know, I know Hassan Whiteside, you know, has opted out and is going to make a move. I could honestly see him landing there in Miami, but for the sake of arguing and, you know, throwing another name out there, another team. I don't know. I really don't know.
I got one more.
You know, maybe Indiana, maybe Toronto, depending on what happens there.
Chicago.
I don't see him going to Chicago. I have a hard time seeing him going to Chicago, especially with, you know, Derrick Rose not being there anymore. Jimmy Butler may be on the move. Again, at this stage of Dwight's career, he cannot be the guy. He can't be the guy. You know, those days for him have long since gone. He cannot be a vocal integral vocal point of a squad, you know, trying to score buckets. So with him going to Chicago, you know, again, depending upon what happens with Jimmy Butler. Now, if he couldn't get along with James Harden, I have a hard time seeing him get along with Jimmy Butler. I'm just going to keep that shit 100 with you. I have a hard time seeing him get along with Jimmy Butler. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. But, I mean, honestly, I think possibly Riley, you know, or Phil Jackson, somebody with some type of pedigree behind their name that can seriously look Dwight in the face and be like, dude, shut up, do what I have you do, and, you know, ride our coattail to a championship run. I don't see him doing that in Chicago.
Okay, so here goes my assumption on where it would be interesting spots for Dwight Howard. Of course, I think New York will be primary. I really do, because him and Porzingis in the paint, that's a problem. Already, that's a problem. And then you get Carmelo to play that three where he has to either be on the block and not sitting up here hoisting up jump shots as soon as he crosses half court. Like, because that's Derrick Rose and whoever they have at the two. Right now they have Holiday at the two. I think they're gonna entice another two guard to get there and fill that one up. Because New York has watched Cleveland knock their little curse or their drought of having a championship. I think the Knicks are going to try and push this year. So, Dwight, that's number one. Number two, I actually like it because we're all here together. They all are in the DMV as well. The Wizards would be a primary spot for him, and here's why. You have a point guard that's not greedy at all. All John Wall want to do is either get to the rack or set somebody up. John Wall plays some of the most simplest basketball for his teammates to roll with him, and they do well. If he had a big man that could stay healthy, I think the Wizards could be a problem. Look how many years Nene got injured in a row. In a row, Nene was getting hurt. And here goes the more enticing situation. The last time Dwight Howard was strongly relevant, he went to the NBA Finals with Marcin Gortat as his running mate in the front court, and they practiced and got better together. Gortat is still sitting there, and it probably could sharpen them because I was always taught steel sharpens steel. I think Gortat needs to be around Dwight again, and that could potentially be an interesting spot for him in D.C. with the Wizards also. That's nothing to laugh at. People have to think about that. But, one, I know Tommy loved to hit on this. If Bradley Beal can stay healthy, the rest of the core has to come and play ball too as well. Like, y'all know I love Otto Porter because he's a Hoyer, but if he can just play his role, because Porter's a 5'2 player, if he can just have his head in the game. But it just hasn't panned out for him consistently. He'll give you a 23-point night. Next thing you know, you don't even see him in stat line. Like, that's interesting for me as well. I like the Toronto look. I like what was said about the Raptors as well, too. That's if they get the roles in the state put. If they get the roles in the state put, that backcourt is already settled. You got Biombo making a name for himself, depending on what they do with Biombo. And Valanciunas, if he didn't get injured, we don't know what could have happened up there. I mean, even though I think Cleveland was still going to roll on him, but at least I think it would have been a weighable situation. Because the way Valanciunas came out the gate before they started playing Cleveland, it was whoa, all eyes on this guy. So that's interesting as well. He threw out the Pacers as well. I mean, especially with Hibbert being gone, Jan Mahimi. I feel a certain way about Yamahimi. He has some plays where he looks like one of the centers that is trying to make a name for himself, and then he'll just get lost, and he'll just watch people just do the Euro step in the lane, and he can't get to the ball and make block shots. Like, that's the one thing about Yamahimi that gets me, so I know Dwight can go to Indiana and start, but I think he'll go back to the same situation that series was addressing, he would be the man in Indiana. I mean, you still got a, you know, Monte Ellis to give up shots or whatever. Jeff Teague is another, you know, timid point guard as well because they just picked up Jeff Teague. I don't think Indiana is lined up for a championship, especially if Paul George leaves. That's something that they have to watch out for, too, because Paul George is a Cali guy, too, and they're saying that he may end up trying to get back home as well, too, while the window is open at the two-guard position because, like I said, Lou Williams is now the trigger man for the Lakers while Kobe's gone. So that also presents itself well as well. Other than that, I really can't think of too many teams that I could see him fitting in with. Maybe Portland, because the way Plumlee just played in this postseason, I'm mad to say that I believed in him to help turn the corner in Portland. He was too scared. He's too timid. I think Lillard would love to play ball with a guy like Dwight. But, you know, other than the five or six that have been mentioned, I think a lot of these teams are solidified with their big guy in the paint. Okay, anything else before we get away from it? Oh, both of them are quiet. Okay, Tom, is there another topic that you'd like to get to before we get rolling?
Yeah, one more, the key free agent, Kevin Durant. Reports are teams that he has already set a meeting with. In no certain order, I'll just randomly say them. Thunder, Spurs, Warriors, Knicks, Boston, Heat are the teams that I've seen reportedly he's already set. Meaning, my Wizards are out. I'm not shocked. I'm not shocked at all. After the shit that garbage performance we put this past season. He goes to the Warriors. I'm done with the NBA. I won't watch a game. Miami, I could see that. I'd be all right with that. New York, I don't know. I mean, I don't see how that would work with him and Melo playing in pretty much the same three. They both play the three, so I don't see how that would work. Boston, that's interesting. He goes to San Antonio. I'm done with the NBA, too. They don't need him. They are doing fine without him, perfectly fine. He could possibly go, like I've been saying, he could sign maybe a two-year contract and then opt out after the second year, depending on what Westbrook does. I'm very interested to see what he does.
Okay, Theories, your thoughts on this situation of KD and the free agency frenzy?
You know, again, I mean, that's the big fish that everybody's trying to lure in. You know, I mean, I live out here in the metro, you know, with Tommy. You know, I listen to sports talk radio on a regular basis, and you know, the onus, honestly, in my honest opinion, has to be put squarely on, you know, the fans of the Wizards and as well as the ownership of the teams they put out there. Tommy hit the nail on the head. You know, I'm pretty sure he would at least got a meeting, you know, with the Wizards if they would have played, you know, significantly better and shown signs of progress, but I'm going to digress there. You know, honestly, man, I think this is more posturing than anything. I honestly believe Kevin Durant is going to sign a two-year deal with OKC with the option to opt out after the first year for the TV money, give it one more run. You know, KC, the rebound was hella close, you know, and they let the Golden State Warriors off the hook, and, you know, that leaves a very sour taste in your mouth. But, you know, you just have Oladipo come in there, you know, more firepower. they really do have to address what they're going to do with life without Ibaka, things of that nature, because he was a very integral cog in what they were able to run as far as stretching the floor and having a big man who can hit an outside jumper and everything like that. But I honestly believe that KD's going to stay put, give it one more year, and then, you know, when that TV money gets up, then that's what you see, you know, him make it move. But all these meetings and things that he's setting up, I think he's doing it just to kind of put his feelers out there, see what the teams are offering him, see what, you know, his value is. Because keep in mind, I mean, this dude got drafted from Texas and from shit to OKC. You know what I'm saying? He never had time to test this. He never had time really to be courted in the second and third. So I think that's what he's doing. So I think he's saying, okay, keep it going.
Well, he got drafted by Seattle. It's just a correction. Got drafted by
Seattle. Are we really going on that road, sir?
I mean, that's where he got drafted. I mean, I'm actually lucky that they didn't go after Greg Oden, because if you would have rewinded the clock from like the 2007.
I remember. Believe me, I remember.
Look. If you'd have rewinded the clock back to 2007, you'd have heard a younger Timeless saying, "We need a big man badly. We need a big man badly. Go get Oden. We at this time, we have Vitali Potapenko at the center." Are you listening to me? I bet you a lot of y'all don't even remember who Vitali Potapenko is. That was a center, okay? Like young Nick Collison, Barry was packing his bags, going to the Spurs, Ray Allen was going to Boston. We ended up getting Jeffrey. Don't get me started. So I've actually seen this team move. He moved with the organization. Now, that's why I understand where Terry's is coming from, because basically all he's seen was this organization. But now there's actually rumbling coming out, and it actually has me like caught in my feelings right now. They say the biggest piece of the puzzle for Durant right now to stay put in OKC is number zero. If Russ can actually do something, it'll be great. So they're saying that he may hold a lot to Kevin Durant staying, even though a lot of people are saying, oh, well, this move with Oladipo might have helped him stay. I don't believe that, because there could be teams that are trying to tell him, you know what, we'll throw you 200 and something or 300 and something, he'll leave. I don't know who wouldn't leave. Like, you'd be a fool not to. And it hurts me to say it like that about K, because I want K to stay. But they're saying that if Russell could entice him some type of way, That may work. Now, I don't know how the deal may go down, if it's a one-year deal, and him and Russ try to structure the contract together after the next year. That'll be great, especially with Russ on the line right now, too. I mean, back-to-back years, I got to worry about how this is supposed to go down. So this is a whole other situation where, you know, this full season, if Russ is built to stay in OKC, or if he's going to try and test the waters as well, you know, or things of that nature. But I would love to see these guys do what Karl Malone and John Stockton were supposed to do. Like, I really felt like John Stockton and Karl Malone were supposed to retire together as Utah Jazz players. That's me. Long historian like that. Like, I'll until Karl Malone was like, you know what, I'm chasing a championship. It ain't about money, because he had all the money in the world from Utah. He ended up going to the Lakers and getting to a final, and then the Pistons, you know, got to him. You know what I'm saying? And then that was the end of Malone's career. But I would love to see these two stay together. And of course, personally, because that's my team, but also these two have been so close so many different times, being in the Western Conference Finals, but four times, getting to the finals once, going up against tough Spurs teams and beating them once, losing to them another time, losing to Dallas, beating Dallas, you know, and also losing this year to Golden State and being so damn close to knocking Golden State off, it bothers me that these two teams are now in cahoots to try and sign Kevin Durant, when these are the teams to beat. Like, do you want to, and not even just like throw this at him, but it's the truth. Do you want to challenge these dudes and earn a championship, or do you really want to go be a part of something and have an easier structured way to be a part of a system and get to a finals. And that all depends on him. Of course, the money plays a big issue. And what's it? I don't even think he's worried about how the scenery is of a city. Because if you're getting over, let's just say you're getting over $10 to $15 million a year. No, Kevin Durant's gonna get way more than that. But if you get more than $10 to $15 million a year, you can make fun happen. you don't need to be in the middle of Chicago. You don't need to be in the middle of Miami. You can do whatever you want. You can do whatever you want. So it's tough to me right now that I really hope that what we see on TV is nothing compared to their relationship outside the lines. And they're saying that Russell Westbrook is a key factor on if Durant is able to stay. If he goes, if he leaves, then that could materialize into being the reason why, too, also. And it hurts me to look at it like that. It hurts me a ton to watch these two, I guess, while they're on the floor, not get along. You know what I'm saying? But I think that these guys are so strong competitors that they clash at times, you know? So that's how I feel. Your thoughts on that, Tommy, before we get away from it?
Let me ask you both, how would it work in New York? Would they have to put one or the other at the four? And which one?
I think Porzingis would be the
Doesn't
four.
Doesn't Porzingis play four?
Porzingis would play the four, yeah, because Carmelo's playing the three.
KD plays the three. So, how they would work this out.
If they did that, they would put Kevin Durant at the two guard. Unless they wanted to draw back and put Porzingis at the five and watch Porzingis grow, which he's going to grow because, he's every bit of like 20, 21 years old and he's still growing. And once he puts that like grown man weight on, that'll be a problem. He's 7'3". He's 7'3" and plays ball like that. That's what's crazy about Porzingis. But I think either they would put K at the four and let Carmelo stay at the three and have a two guard in Derrick Rose, or put Durant at the two, Carmelo three, Porzingis at the four, and whatever big they would have behind them if they wanted to run the big lineup, they could. But that would be the Knicks situation right now. But there's a lot of teams caught up in this mix. This free agency frenzy, like I have it written in the description, I see this. I'm looking at my calendars everywhere I go, whether I'm at home, whether I'm at work, whether I'm in my car, just watching it get closer and closer to June 30th. Because it's like after June 30th, that's like I'm holding my breath and I need water. You know what I mean? So, like, everything is coming to my mind as we approach this, July 1st date. Okay. Anything else? Well, go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Friday will be here soon.
I know.
If not because of this, I cannot wait because I cannot wait to see who goes where. And there's reports that I just seen on ESPN. Sirius, if you're still here, you're going to love this. The Houston Rockets will also be getting a meeting with Whiteside.
Mm-hmm. And he actually fell off, but that would be interesting with him going down there because then they get another shot blocker to stay in that paint. They need that. That's the ultimate, especially while Dwight walked away from that money. While Dwight walked away from that, that's right there for Whiteside to go get. But the biggest key to that puzzle is Whiteside's health. Because the way that his legs were not working for him in the postseason, we have to see what's going on. A lot of people are going to weigh their options with Whiteside right now and seeing if that lingers. They're going to watch his physical and everything. They're going to watch and see how he tries to get up off the floor using no hands. You know what I'm saying? Seeing if he has pain or he grimaces. You know what I'm saying? They're going to watch that closely. This is a multi-million dollar investment at the end of the day.
If you had to guess, Todd, do you think he stays in South?
Stays with.
He run to the money.
Good question. To be honest, I think Whoever comes at him with a big number, he'll go. If somebody comes at him with a big number, he'll go. But if he's going around the board and he's seeing the same number, like, you know, 7 to 12 a year, it doesn't make sense for him to leave Miami, especially while they are in contention to win at least the Eastern Conference. Just like you said, Tommy, if they were together and healthy, they could have probably gave the Cavaliers a fit in the postseason. Whiteside went down and was kind of like...
And if they can get Whiteside back, get him healthy, say you can, they can figure something out, Bosch can figure something out, and God, I hope he gets healthy and can play at least a little bit. And they bring in Kevin Durant down there. I mean, that's a feasible beating team that can compete with the Cavs.
I really want Bosch to do what's smart for him, man. I already seen, I remember 1993 vividly. Rest in peace to Reggie Lewis, man. I was watching that game was on NBC. I was watching that game live when Reggie fell on the floor, reached for his toes, and then just laid down, and he passed away. Chris Bosh, I could not see that happen again. I can't. So if the doctors clear you, then yes, go out there and ball, and they can structure out, you know, around this Heat team with Bosh. But if not, boy, please, you go count $1 million at home with Jackson and your wife. Go do something. Like, stop. Basketball is a sport. I love sports with all my heart, but it ain't worth dying over. No. Like I said, I watched that game live. I watched it live. Okay, so we are at the tail end of the show. I need a plug, close out, shout out, anything that you'd like to promote as we shut down.
I mean, you can get some stuff out if you want. We can keep going, can't we?
We can, but I mean, we got an hour in. We had a great talk. I mean, you carry the show. Can I eat for once?
That's what I said. I want to put some dishes out.
No, I'll save them for the cookout. We need food for tomorrow. My brother carried us today. My fellow chef carried us today. That's what I'm talking about. Look at this. That's what Tommy did. Okay, Tommy, I need a plug, close out, shout out, anything that you like to promote as we shut it down. Here is the wrap up.
Good show. Thanks for Sirius to come in for what little bit he did. I still would take Dwight Howard over James Harden. I'm sorry. I guess that's the big man in me. Can't wait for tomorrow. And Nationals, can we please get some hits with runners in scoring position? We've already left bases loaded once and had Syndergaard on the ropes. Can we please do something, please?
Uh-oh. He's begging. He's begging. SportsCityChefs.com. Check out the website, the interviews, the blogs, the chefs. We'll be back here tomorrow, 7 p.m., the same time. The cookout will be on fire. That lid will be off this thing. I've got some topics to throw out here. Tommy was cooking today. That's what I'm talking about. SportsCityChefs.com, website, interviews, blogs, the chefs. You already know the slogan. On that note, tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the chefs again. And if they don't know, now they know.
Woo! 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 And back, niggas. Ladies and gentlemen, H to the ISO. I want to thank everybody there for their purchase. We surely appreciate it. Woo! What you about to witness is my thoughts.
Just my thoughts, man.
Right or wrong, just what I was feeling at the time. You ever felt like this? Vibe with me.
Walk with a nigga, man.
Vibe with me. Yo, gather round, hustlers, that's if you're still living. And get on down to that old jig rhythm. Just a couple of jewels to help you get through your bit in prison. A ribbon in the sky, keep your head high. Young Vito, voice of the young people. Mouthpiece for hustlers, I'm back, motherfucker. Your reign on the top was shorter than left.